Welcome to the Parent Equation Podcast with me, Aisha Murray. This podcast series is full of inspiring stories from working parents who are passionate about designing a life that works for them and their families. Working parents like you who want a purposeful, rewarding career alongside a balanced family life. Today I'm joined by Karen Farrell. Karen is a modern day mindfulness expert and also the mum of two. So welcome, Karen.
Hi, how are you?
Thank you. And that was quite a tongue twister, modern day mindfulness expert.
It is. Yes. but it's a good one.
And what does it mean to you then? What does modern day mindfulness mean to you?
Yeah, and I love that. So basically, we live in busy, crazy, modern day world, and I'm all about helping people to find a bit of peace and calm amongst the chaos of life. Because, you know, life is crazy, life is busy, especially if you've got children. You can't wait until you are on holidays or until you maybe have a quiet moment to yourself. You have to find peace and calm amongst the chaos of life. So I'm all about helping people to basically make mindfulness a habit that sticks. So that's when it comes to, you know, mindfulness in the modern age, it's about basically finding those moments where you can just reset.
Because it does have to be conscious, doesn't it? It has to be a conscious decision to incorporate, we'll talk about what mindfulness means to you in a second, but to incorporate something, self-care, mindfulness, time for you to recharge, it has to be a conscious decision to put that into the busy day. Otherwise, it just won't happen.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, so many people think, you know, on a Sunday night, they're like, oh, I want to be relaxed. You know, I want to be less stressed for the rest of the week. So I'm going to do some mindfulness or meditation on a Sunday night. But actually, you need to be doing it constantly and you need to be doing it regularly to actually see the benefits. Because so many people are like, it didn't work for me. I tried it once. You have to try it, you know, a few times before it actually, you start to feel the benefits and it becomes a habit.
And that's the key. It has to become a habit.
Absolutely.
And we talked about habits earlier because I just went to Pilates class this morning.
Yes.
So hopefully that will be my new habit and I'll have succeeded in some habits. So maybe mindfulness is the next thing on the list for me.
Yeah, exactly. Fabulous.
So where you worked in a corporate environment for a long time.
I did.
And then you've got two children and you're on maternity leave at the moment.
Correct.
It's exciting. How did you go? Where, maybe you had this already in your mind. Where did mindfulness start to kind of come in? How did it manifest itself going from corporate into this?
Yep, amazing. So I have always been interested in mindfulness. So, you know, yes, I practice yoga. Yes, I have a natural, you know, positive outlook on life. But when it came to mindfulness and meditation, I was always like, boring. Like I literally couldn't think of anything worse. And I was one of these people who was like, I have to still my mind. And when I try and still my mind goes crazy, which, you know, mindfulness meditation is not about that. It's about acknowledging your thoughts. And basically, I was on maternity leave with my first daughter in 2020. And I was just going through a bit of a stressful time. And I came across a kind of like an online course. And I thought, you know what? Everyone always talks about the benefits of mindfulness. So I'm gonna give it a go. So I was curious. That's basically where it came from. You know, I was curious about mindfulness. And I thought, I'm just gonna do this course. So I did this 4-week course and look, I'm not going to lie. Initially, I was like, oh, this is kind of hard work. I don't know if I like this and, meditating every day. But then talking about habits, then I started to actually quite enjoy it. And then I started to kind of miss it when I didn't do it. And I started to notice that I maybe wasn't as mentally strong that day or I felt more stressed. So I did this 4-week course and was like, actually, I think I like mindfulness. I think I love mindfulness and meditation. So then typical me, I basically then went and trained as a mindfulness coach. So then I actually paid and I trained and I did a really kind of intensive course. And I was like, I love mindfulness. I love meditation. Where has this been all my life? I want to bring mindfulness to the modern age. I want to basically demonstrate to people that it is not all about sitting on top of a mountain in a cross-legged position, chanting for hours on end. It's about basically bringing awareness into your everyday life and reducing stress using just simple and practical things. And So this was all kind of during the pandemic, and I basically got furloughed from my corporate job. So I previously worked as a facilities manager. So I managed buildings, and I basically got furloughed for a very, very long time because the building that I managed wasn't open. So I had time to basically invest in something that I really wanted to do. So I then set up this little business called Mindful Station, which was all about bringing mindfulness to people's workstations, because I was all about helping people, like giving them the tools and techniques to reduce stress and improve productivity and happiness whilst at work, because everyone was working from home. So I set up this little business, and then I basically started doing workshops. I was doing drop-in sessions. I used to do this thing called Coffee with Karen, which was basically like mindfulness and the time it takes to have a coffee. So I was doing all these things. And then I was like, actually, I want to do this full time. I want to actually leave my corporate job, and I want to basically teach mindfulness. Now, because I already worked in the workplace environment, my shift into kind of mindfulness wasn't huge because I was still helping people's working day, basically. So I always say I used to help people's outer worlds by basically making sure that the buildings were running, you know, that the air conditioning was running, the temperature was great, that, you know, they had all the equipment they needed, their workstations. And now I say to people, I help their inner world. So I'm all about kind of helping, you know, people and their mindset and things like that. So I basically left my corporate job. So I did go back, furlough came to an end. I went back to my corporate job, and then I realized actually I'm destined for something else. And so I left the corporate world and sort of dived into my business full time, and have just been kind of on this journey, this entrepreneurial journey, or mumtrepreneurial journey, your mumtrepreneur, as they like to call it. And yeah, and just kind of seeing where it takes me. So I've mainly been working with corporate organizations, helping to sort of improve people's working day, productivity, mindset, things like that, reducing stress. And then obviously now I'm on maternity leave. I've kind of pivoted slightly, and I'm sort of helping mums as well, because I feel like as mums, you know, we need a bit of, you know, we need a bit of mindfulness. So I always say, I help mums to sort of win at motherhood without losing their mind.
And hopefully being able to quash some of the guilt.
Yeah.
Because I certainly, when I try to be more mindful, I'm not very good at it, I'll admit. I get bored very easily. Yep. And I don't like being on my own. So I quite often do a few couple of minutes, then go into something else. But when you have all of that mental load of this needs to be doing, that needs to be having done, there's a list here, something else there. How, as a busy working mum or dad, parent, can we not just get into a habit of it, but sit there, sit with it, sit with that mindfulness, and not feel the guilt of everything else that you should be doing at the same time?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. So I, and mum guilt and the mental load is like a huge aspect of sort of motherhood. So I'm all about doing what I call like mini mindful moments throughout the day, because like I said, life is crazy. Kids, you know, it's just trying to fit it all in. So what I try to do, because I'm all about making mindfulness a habit, is something that you do every day. So whether it's like having a cup of tea, or every time you, I don't know, check your phone, or every time, I don't know, you touch a door handle or something, taking a moment to just stop and breathe and literally just kind of resetting. Because what happens is quite often we get so caught up in our heads. Like you said, we're just thinking about all the things we need to do, and you start catastrophizing, you start thinking of sort of, you know, this needs doing, and I haven't done this, and I'm feeling guilty because I haven't spent time with my child. So it's all about just taking that moment to just reset. Focus on your breathing, get out of your head. So focusing on your breathing, or even focusing on something outside yourself. So maybe like a sound, or maybe the smell of your coffee. It just helps to stop that, that noise in your head. And it helps you to just reset. It helps to just kind of put things back into perspective. So if you're maybe feeling guilty about something, you can then just take a moment to pause, put it into perspective, and be like, right, what can I do about this situation? And this is the thing with mindfulness. It gives you choice. It helps you to choose how you want to respond to your thoughts and feelings. And that's the power, because once you kind of take that moment to stop, pause, reset, you're able to consciously choose how you want to respond to something. Mm. So you don't go into this negative spiral of being like, I'm a terrible mom.
Yeah, because I find I have a counsellor who I love. I think everyone should have a counsellor or a therapist in their lives. And he taught me, because when I get stressed from mental load, from general day-to-day stuff, I can feel it. And I think that's our first thing we all need to do, is acknowledge physical feelings.
Yes.
Our body telling us something. And I can feel it. You know, I can feel my heart racing fast. I can feel my kind of breath, you know, breathlessness, etc. if I'm getting in a stress situation. So he taught me the 4-4-4 breathing technique, which is you inhale for 4, hold the breath for 4, and then exhale slowly for 4.
Yep.
And essentially, every time I can feel any sort of stress rising or panic or, you know, day-to-day stuff, I'll just, to your point, just sit there, whether it's in the car or on the loo or wherever, and just do the 4-4-4, just for a couple of rounds of it, not sort of, you know, a couple of minutes, that's it.
Yep.
And as you say, it entirely just resets that perspective.
Totally. And I am so, so glad that you mentioned that breathing technique as well, because it is so powerful. Mm. And what I love about it is, and I'll just explain to the listeners, the power of this kind of breathing exercise is you breathe in for 4. And by holding your breath for 4, it helps to reset your breathing. Because when you're feeling stressed, when you're feeling anxious, when you're feeling overwhelmed, your breathing becomes really heightened, and you want to basically reset your breathing. So by holding your breath, it helps to kind of reset it. And then by breathing out, you activate your vagus nerve. And that is the connection between your mind and your body. And that's what helps to basically shift you from this parasympathetic, which is your stress response, to your sympathetic, which is your rest and digest. And this is where the power of the breath is so amazing, because it can just slow things down. And like you said, it can just help you to kind of feel back into your body and reset and pause, and then choose how you want to then continue the day.
Yeah, exactly. You're absolutely right. It's about choice. It gives you that sudden, it gives you a bit of clarity to say, right, now what do I choose to do?
Yep, exactly. And it's really interesting just talking about choice. Mm. And because I always remember I had a really bad day. I kind of woke up and I wanted to go to baby cinema. I love baby cinema. And anyone who doesn't know what baby cinema is, it's basically where you take your baby to the cinema and you get to watch the latest blockbuster. Yep. And it is the best thing ever. So I had planned to go on this particular day to see a film, and there was train strikes. And I thought, and I was like, so upset. I was crying. I was like, this was for me. You know, I hate today. I hate my life. I hate being a parent today, you know. And I basically, I stopped and I paused, did the breathing exercise. And I thought, right, I have a choice right now. I can either stay at home and be miserable, or I can just start again and I can get the bus to baby cinema, which isn't going to be as comfortable because I've got my buggy. It's going to be busy, but it will get me to the cinema and I will I'll be able to see this film. And I'll never forget this, because this is where the power of pausing and the power of mindfulness, like you said, it gives you choices, because I had two choices: stay at home and be miserable, or actually start again and have a good day. And that's exactly what I did. And I went and I caught the bus, and, you know, it wasn't as comfortable, but it got me to baby cinema. I had a fabulous day. I went for lunch, had a nice glass of wine, and I had a brilliant day. Yeah. And to think that I would have stayed at home and been miserable. And that probably would have been the easier thing to do. But I took that moment to pause, reset, recalibrate, and then make that choice in that moment of space.
Mm. And there's one question that came to mind that I talk, not just me, but other coaches also talk to clients about, is setting your kind of intention for the day is, what do you need to do today to make today feel successful?
Totally.
One thing. So not a to-do list type thing, but a higher level thing. For you, in that example, going to baby cinema, engaging with your baby, doing something for you, having a glass of wine as well, all of those things was definitely going to make for a successful day. So your choice, if you'd chosen to stay at home, would have been to go against that original intention.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's so true about, you know, setting the intention for the day, because there are days when I get very, very little sleep. Mm. And we talked about this earlier. I probably average about 3 to 4 hours sleep a night. Mm. And it's broken. I have a terrible sleeper, but, you know, we're working on it.
So let's be clear. So because you have a baby.
Because I have a baby. Exactly. So there are some days where I wake up and I feel really low. And I just think, gosh, how am I going to get through this day? And it's at that moment that, yeah, I set this intention where I'm like, I'm just going to be really kind to myself today. And I'm just going to do the best that I can do. And even if the best is just brushing my teeth or having a shower or just watching Netflix or just being with my baby and just not putting that pressure on myself, then that's a good day. Do you know, like we always talk about, you know, show up as the best version of yourself, but actually your best might just be surviving the day and just being kind to yourself. Because your best can vary, you know, from day to day.
Yeah, and that applies absolutely not just to new babies or new motherhood, but to general cycles, monthly cycles. And also with people like me going into perimenopause, is some days just aren't as good as they used to be because God knows what's going on inside our bodies and hormones. And it's being able to say to yourself and to friends and family, this is not going to be a great day for me potentially. So I'm going to give myself a break. I'm not going to overburden myself. Obviously, we still have things to do and work to do and things, obviously, family to do. But it's just having, as you say, not necessarily feeling like you have to present the best version of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, acknowledging today is just a bad day, you know, like I'm just having a bad day today. I'm not a bad mum. I'm not a bad person. I'm just having a bad day, you know. And I think sometimes doing that, acknowledging that and giving yourself permission to just have a bad day, have a cry, you know, scream into a pillow, you know, that is absolutely fine, you know, and that can be really sort of cathartic in a way because, you know, motherhood is tough. Life is tough. And I think it's giving yourself that permission to just do what you can do, do the best that you can do.
So tell me about your maternity leave at the moment.
Yes, I am.
You've chosen to not relax entirely with your baby during that period, but to start a business and to run a business alongside being on maternity leave.
Yeah.
So how is that going for you?
I know, right? I mean, who does this? Who decides, you know, I'm going to start a new business, I'm going to have a baby, I'm going to leave my corporate job. But the way I looked at it was, you know, there's never a good time, right? There's never a good time to start a job, have a baby. There's only now, right? So how do I manage it? I try and do something every day, you know, and some days are better than others. Like I said, I get very little sleep, but it's about being consistent. So at the moment, I'm very much about planting seeds and nurturing them and building a profile. So I am on social media a lot and I'm very public about my sort of mum life. You know, I show the highs and the lows. And I just try and do one thing every day that moves me closer to my sort of goals. So that when maternity leave comes to an end, I'm kind of really ready to launch. So I, you know, I've set up a Facebook group where I help mums. I do volunteering for the mental health charity Mind, which is fantastic. I'm one of them sort of mindful mum facilitators. And I've run up sort of a program with them, which has been amazing. So it's just kind of showing up every day for my business and just fitting in some bits of work where I can. Obviously, I want to be present with my child. I don't want to miss out on this time. I don't want to be like I'm just working the whole time. So I'm quite disciplined with my time. So when they are asleep, that's when I will maybe jump on social media and do some posts, or I'll try and connect with someone, or I will set up a meeting. So I'm quite disciplined in my time because I don't want to find that I'm missing out on these precious life moments. So I guess, you know, for you know, mums out there who are trying to juggle kids and a business, it's just about being consistent, you know, doing these small things every day that, you know, are going to bring you closer to your goal. And then by doing that, then sort of the snowball effect happens is, you know, rather than trying to do everything on one day and burning out, or trying to do loads of stuff and then burning out, just doing one thing every day consistently is going to pay off in the end.
Yeah. And it's celebrating the fact you've done one thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that one thing might be exactly like I just did a post on social media or I connected with someone. It might just be one really small thing, or I wrote something in my journal or something like that. You know, it's just doing exactly celebrating these small wins and just doing something really small every day.
And when you're posting or seeing mums online or having conversations with mums online about mindfulness, what kind of themes do you see? Obviously, there's a juggle and the mental load. But given we're talking about, I suppose, the evolution of mindfulness into this modern day, and that it doesn't have to be sitting on top of a mountain, there are ways of getting into our lives in a much easier, accessible way. What kind of conversations are you having with those sort of mums online who are maybe wanting to get into mindfulness more, understand more about it, but perhaps a bit like me, are kind of, I don't think it's boring, but it's not part of my day-to-day life. What kind of things are you seeing?
So I love that. Yes. So that's basically the biggest theme that I'm seeing is people are saying, I don't have time for mindfulness. And I totally get that. The thing is, you do have time. You've just maybe allocated that time to something you think is of higher importance. So maybe checking your social media or doing emails or something like that. So that's the biggest theme, is that people are saying, I don't have time for mindfulness. I don't have time for self-care. And actually, you need to be really disciplined. So this is something that I've learned, and I'll sort of, because self-care, mindfulness, it's all kind of interlinked. But one thing I've realized about self-care is you need to be disciplined in doing it, and you need to almost schedule it in. Otherwise, it just doesn't happen, right? And because things get in the way. And I always remember, so I do a thing called Fit Mama. It's like, you know, you take your baby to a fitness class. And I love it because it's for me, right? And I didn't go one week because I couldn't be bothered. And I totally regretted it. And then I had a bad day because I was like, I haven't done something for me. And that's where I realized actually self-care and mindfulness takes discipline. And you need to basically, factor it into your life. So I always say to mums who say to me, I don't have time for mindfulness. I don't have time for self-care. I don't have time to, stop and take a break and meditate or whatever. So I always say to mums, mindfulness is as simple as checking in with your mind. MIND. So I love an acronym, right? So M stands for, doing a mental reset, doing your breathing exercise, the 4-4-4 exercise, or just even just taking a moment to just breathe, right? And doing that throughout the day. I stands for, identify the positives, just identifying some positive things that have happened that day, whether it was that you managed to drink your cup of tea whilst it was still warm, you got out for a walk, someone sent you a really nice message, or you saw the flowers blooming or something like that. Identify something, positive. N stands for noticing your thoughts and your feelings. So that's kind of just checking in with yourself. What do I need to do today to nourish myself? And then D stands for do something you enjoy every day. And whether that is, having a bath. I'd love to have a bath every day, a soak for hours and relax. But, even if it's just going for a walk or reading a book or having a cup of tea or just taking that time out for yourself, because if you can do these four things every day, you are creating a really solid mindfulness practice. And you don't have to put aside 10 minutes, an hour to meditate. You can just do these four simple things. And just talking about the do something every day that you enjoy. So I used to have what I called a me day Monday. It was all about me. This is when I worked in the corporate world before I did any kind of mindfulness. But I basically was really disciplined in doing something for me. And so 5 o'clock on a Monday, I would shut my laptop down. I would then go on to a yoga class, and then I would go and sing with a choir because I used to be part of a pop rock choir for a bit of, fun and social activity. But it was all about me, right? And it gave me a reason to finish work on time, and it gave me a reason to do something for myself. Now, I don't do the me day Mondays anymore because I'm at home and, life has changed. But one thing that I do every day is I try and get up half an hour before, my family wake up so that I can have my breakfast in peace and quiet. Because having that peace and quiet and having my breakfast and my coffee for the day, it just helps to mentally reset me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's one of the biggest themes, like I said, with mums, is it's just like, how do they fit it in? How can they find, you know, this peace and calm amongst the chaos of motherhood? And it's just about finding these little pockets of opportunity, whether it's taking a mental reset, whether it's just having, getting up, you know, half an hour before your kids, before the family wake up, to just reset for the day. You know, it's these little things that you can do every day that help.
And so I think it's also the awareness, because as you were saying that, I thought, oh, hold on, I do something every single day for myself, which is do my Wordle.
Amazing. Yes, I love it.
A crossword, online crossword.
Yes.
Because I love puzzles.
Love it.
So admission, I love puzzles. So for about 20 minutes a day, I do that. But until you said this just now, I'm not sitting there and I haven't been thinking, this is my 20 minutes of me time. I just do it because it's habits and I enjoy doing it. But actually, if I was to say to myself, this 20 minutes is for me, it happens already.
Yeah.
But I'm going to label it now and say, this is for me, and make it much more intentional. This is for me. I suspect that will just embed that notion far more than I've done it and I've kind of forgotten about it and get on with something else. But actually sitting there knowing this is my time.
Yep.
For a habit actually that already exists.
Yes, exactly. And the thing is, you would probably notice if you didn't do it. Mm. Does that make sense? Mm. So if you maybe didn't do your puzzles for a few days, you'd be like, for a few days, you would probably be like, oh, I'm not feeling as like resilient, or I'm not feeling like my happy self. Mm. Why is that? Oh, it's because I haven't taken that time out for myself.
Yeah.
And it's funny you say that. So I absolutely love walking, and for about 3 months my son didn't like, when he was first born, he didn't like being in the buggy. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't able to go for my walks, and that really affected my mental well-being, because that is me time, you know, going for a walk, just being away from social media, mm-hmm. being away from everything, and just having that time to myself. So that was really hard. But now obviously I can go for my walks, and that's when I listen to my podcasts. But, you know, the weather, when it was snowing and when it's raining, I don't get to go out. And I really notice it. I really notice that I'm just not as resilient. I'm not as just happy in myself, because I haven't been taking that time out. So, which, you know, it happens, because life gets in the way. But, yeah, definitely it's about being intentional with your time and being disciplined.
So how do you replace that? Because obviously life does get in the way. And when you have a habit that works for you, is there a risk that you could become over-reliant on that habit? So then when it doesn't happen, or you can't go out for your walk, or you know, other things happen, it then, because it's such an integral part of that, of your day, that mindfulness and that resilience, if it doesn't happen, is there a risk that actually it sets you back potentially?
Yeah, yes, definitely. But I think if you have been doing other things, so whether it's just breathing, or you know, identifying the positives, checking in with your thoughts and feelings. I always feel like if you're doing these other things, that's why I always say to mums, you know, check in with your mind, do these four things every day. If you can't do all four, that's, you know, fine. But by doing the other things, you're still going to have that that resilience, that emotional resilience, so that you can still kind of get through the days, the weeks, until you can pick up the thing that you actually really love doing. Mm-hmm. And then that's basically what I did for those 3 months, you know, where I couldn't go for my walks. I tried once, it was horrendous, just came straight back because it was very stressful. It was then pivoting and thinking, right, well, how can I still get some me time? Mm-hmm. And that's where I would maybe just really enjoy having my cup of tea and really tasting it and really enjoying it, you know, when the baby was asleep. So it was just finding these other moments of, I guess, peace and calm that I could enjoy.
Yeah. So it's having a good foundation, isn't it? Setting yourself up. Good foundation. With all the other things you mentioned.
That's it. It's all about foundations. Mm.
And then hopefully everything else then sits nicely on top of that, but you've still got that foundation, that resilience underpinning.
Exactly. Exactly. Because, you know, they always talk about, you know, you can't, you know, pour from a cup that's half full and things like that. So it's all about, how can I top this up? How can I top myself up? I can't go for my walk. I can't do my puzzle. It's like, what else can I do to just kind of top myself up before I get to empty and I'm burnt out kind of thing. So it's just trying to find maybe other little activities that you can do. Maybe it's just listening to a podcast whilst you're doing some cleaning or something like that.
Like this one, maybe.
Yes, exactly. Whilst you're doing the laundry, you know, because let's be honest, that is never ending. So yeah, it's just maybe being a bit creative and what you can do to just make sure you're just keep topping up that cup and so that you've got these tools, these resilience techniques so that you don't burn out.
Again, I was thinking about mindfulness in mums and post-pandemic and post sort of isolation. And for you, I imagine also you mentioned 2020 earlier being on maternity leave.
Yeah.
So that would have been obviously a different kind of struggle having that isolation. So do you think also then as a sort of a parent mindfulness aspect, there is the need for community and support from each other as part of that mindfulness theme?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, talking and having that community and that network is so, so, so important. And I was really lucky. So obviously I had my daughter in 2019, and then lockdown kind of happened about maybe when she was about, I want to say 7-8 months maybe. Mm. So, you know, I had a period of time where, yes, I was going to baby classes and things like that, but then obviously a period of time when I wasn't. Mm. So I was really lucky. I basically had an NCT group of mums. And sort of to backtrack, I guess, talking about sort of the power of conversation and opening up and talking, when I first had my daughter, I really struggled with breastfeeding. And like a lot of mums do.
Yeah, same.
And I was really, yep, exactly. You know, I was really struggling. And do you know what's interesting with breastfeeding is I thought it was like natural, right? I thought you just put them on the boob and off you went. But actually, no, there's a technique. And, you know, it's really hard. So I was really struggling with breastfeeding. And I had this sort of NCT group and we had a WhatsApp group, but we weren't particularly active on it. Anyway, I reached out one day on this WhatsApp group and I said, I am really struggling with breastfeeding. It really hurts. I'm not loving it. I'm really struggling. Is anyone else having the same experience? Well, it opened up a whole dialogue of conversation. I had a mum come back. She said, I really struggled with breastfeeding. I've given up. I'm now bottle feeding. Mm. Another mum had really struggled. She had had nipple thrush. So, you know, she'd had like awful things. But it made me realize the power of conversation and the power of talking and opening up. And it just opened up this whole dialogue. And it was so interesting because we'd all been very quiet on this WhatsApp chat, obviously only posting the great things about motherhood, not talking about, you know, the struggles. But I'm very open and transparent. So I was like, I'm having a tough time. Mm-hmm. And I think getting back to mums needing this community, needing this support, needing someone to talk to and reach out to, it's so, so important. And I think if you had a baby during lockdown and your baby didn't have that opportunity to go to baby classes or you didn't have the NCT, it would be so hard. It would have been so tough. And I know that from having spoken to mums who really struggled. And that's where, you know, there are some fantastic sort of Facebook groups that you can join. There's apps and things like that. And, you know, Instagram and people you can follow and things like that, just to be able to have that sense of community and support. And you can, you know, talk about your struggles and know that you're not alone. You know, I think that's so important. And I think what I've realized is just the power of talking is so important rather than trying to keep it all to yourself and put up this facade, like everything's great. I'm loving breastfeeding. I'm loving being a mum. Actually being honest and being vulnerable is so much easier because then you can reach out, you can get that support. You can be like, right, I'm not alone. I'm not the only person who's not loving life right now.
Yeah, because both my girls were tongue-tied, which I didn't realise.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Well, the first one I didn't realise, and it was horrendous for weeks and weeks of this guilt of why can't I breastfeed? I'm a terrible mother. Everyone else, apparently it's natural, as you say.
Yep.
And then someone finally told us she's almost 100% tongue-tied.
Yeah.
But, oh, thanks, 8 weeks later.
Yeah, exactly. And by then, you know, you're in quite a bit of discomfort. Yeah. But it's interesting you say that, because that was the other thing. When I would watch, you know, these ads on TV where it was like they're bonding with their baby and they're looking into each other's eyes and it's really loving. And I was like, I am not having the same experience. And that's why when I reached out to my group, and obviously now I've got two kids now, and, you know, I've struggled both times. In fact, my son had a tongue tie, so I can totally relate. And that's where mindfulness is so great, because it helps you to just put things into perspective as well, and just know that, you know, I'm doing the best that I can do. Mm. And, you know, when you see stuff on social media and when you see things on TV, it's knowing that actually it's taking that time to just, you know, take a breath, reset. Don't compare yourself. Mm. You know, I think comparing yourself is just the worst thing you can do, because you're comparing yourself to something that is maybe a projection.
Mm.
Simply not real. Mm. And I think this is where mindfulness helps you to just be really compassionate towards yourself and to not compare yourself to other mums, and also not compare yourself to maybe an ideal mum that you thought you were going to be, you know, because let's be honest, until you have children, you don't realize what it's going to be like. You think, oh, this is going to be really easy. And what's everyone complaining about? And then you have a kid and you're like, this is really hard. And it's all about just having that sort of that self-compassion and being like, you know, I wouldn't speak to a friend like this. Like if a friend came to you and was like, I feel guilty, I'm a bad mom, I can't breastfeed, you wouldn't be like, yeah, you're a bad mom. You'd be like, you're doing the best you can do. You know, you're doing the best, you know, this is a hard job and you're doing the best that you can do given the circumstances. And so I feel like, you know, as mindfulness just helps you to be so much more compassionate towards yourself and so much more kinder to yourself, because we're really tough on ourselves as mums, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's where mindfulness, it seeps into so many different areas of life. So obviously we've talked about the sort of work-life juggle, we've talked about mental load. Obviously I can see where mindfulness, but actually when it comes to that comparison, and that feeling like a fraud or feeling the guilt, we're not doing the best we can be. Again, mindfulness comes in as a way, as you say, to give ourselves a bit more compassion and understand that we're good. We're good enough at what we're doing. It's fine.
Exactly. And you just put things back into perspective as well. But exactly, it's like, you know, good enough is good enough. Mm. You know, I survived the day. You know, this is a good, you know, I'm doing great. And it's celebrating these small wins, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that comparison comes also into, I suppose, the world we live in now, this 21st century social media world, is everywhere.
Yeah.
So whether you're a mum, whether you're a business owner, because I feel it hugely when it comes to, you know, being a self-employed business owner online, is looking at all these other coaches or female founders or blah, 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 and thinking, oh my God, look at them. Why aren't I doing that, et cetera? So it comes at you from every single angle of your life.
Yeah.
That sort of, that comparisonitis, I guess.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and I'm exactly the same. You know, I see people, you know, who are charging ahead and I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm not there yet. And I think that's where, you know, I just take a moment to pause, reset and think, do you know what? You've got to stay in your own lane, you know, and everyone's at different chapters as well. You know, I'm at chapter one. I'm really at the beginning, you know, and I'm comparing myself to someone who is chapter 10. They've been in the business for 5 years, you know, they've got all the, you know, processes and in place, you know, and I think that's where it's about taking that moment to just put things back into perspective and know that, you know, it's a journey, not a destination kind of thing. Comparing yourself is it's not going to go away. It's just how you manage it.
Yeah, and it's taking inspiration from those people.
Yes, absolutely.
They've done it before. Yeah. They're on chapter 10. They've been through the pain that we're all going through, and that chapter 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever it is. So let's see what they've done. How have they got there?
Exactly.
Talk to them, actually. Take the scariness out of them.
Absolutely. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head where you were like, see it as inspiration. And that's where it is. It's all about flipping your mindset. It's like, how can I change this thought? You know, rather than being jealous, which is, you know, not a nice kind of place to be. It's like, actually, how can I see this as inspiration? How can I grow from this? How can I do something differently? And this is where it's all about mindset and just changing the way you think, feel, and behave.
Mm. Mindfulness plus mindset.
Exactly.
Happy life.
Exactly. I love it.
Happier life.
Exactly. Yeah. Because we can't be happy all the time. You know, we have, you know, it's just impossible and unrealistic, but it's about just how you manage, you know, those days and your mindset, you know, is so important. And I always say to people, you know, mindfulness is a lifelong practice. It is not a miracle cure. It is a lifelong practice. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. It's how you manage it. And you know, breathing meditation is a great way to start that journey.
Yeah, and everything you've said, you can make it work for you in some way or shape or form, however small, however big you want to make it.
Yeah,
there's a way of getting this into your life somehow.
Exactly.
It'll make a difference.
Yep, exactly. You know, because it's not for everyone, and it's exactly, it's what works for you. And how you want to sort of, yeah, live your life.
Yep. So thank you so much, Karen, for coming on today. I think we've covered tons. I'm going to definitely put the acronym into the show notes so people can remind themselves of the MIND acronym. That was very useful, definitely. And if people want to find out more about you, your business, mindfulness, running a business on maternity leave, etc.,
yes.
Where's the best place to find you?
Yes, so I love LinkedIn. LinkedIn is my preferred platform, so I am on there. So you can just search for me, Karen Farrell, modern day mindfulness expert. I also have a Facebook group, Mindful Mums Club, which you are welcome to join. And I'm also on Instagram as well, Mindful Mums Club. So, that's where I'm at on the social media.
Thank you. And hope you have lots more mindful mums in the world to come with your help.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Karen. Have a great day.
My pleasure. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
To work with me, find out more at aishamari.com, connect with me on LinkedIn, or check out my free resources and quizzes at aishamari.com/resources.